Okay, good morning everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Shabbos Kodesh class learning. I hope everybody is well and enjoyed an uplifting and healthy week. And we're ready, Be'ezer Hashem, to observe another Shabbos Kodesh. So I thank our sponsor very much, who wishes to remain anonymous, and it is in the zchus of her and her family and her husband and her family that we are zocha to these Divrei Torah, and to bring many Shabbosos to you and your family, only for besos tovos and simchas, and the shechina should reside in your home, only in good health, with a lot of Torah and a lot of nachas, Be'ezer Hashem. Thank you so much. Okay, so we are in our sefer. Here we are, Nefesh Shimshon Shabbos Kodesh. Okay, making the most of Shabbos Kodesh. So we are on page 60 of the sefer. Okay, and what Pinchas is doing is Zatzal. Is that he is comparing the Beis HaMikdash, different aspects in the Beis HaMikdash, to Shabbos Kodesh in our home. Okay, so the last thing that we spoke about was the menorah. Well, not the last thing, but we actually spoke about page 57. He compared our Shabbos clothing to the Big Day Kohuna. Just like the Kohen must serve only in special garments, so to when Shabbos comes, we have to put on special garments. And then he spoke about the menorah. Just like they had the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, we have Shabbos candles. We spoke about that extensively, and we learned some interesting from the Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah, halachos of Noam Paskin and Halacha L'maisa. For that, you ask your Rav. How our lighting the Shabbos candles parallels the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. The last thing we spoke about was bathing. Just like there's a requirement of the Kohen to wash his hands and feet by the Kiyor before he enters and does the Avodah, so too we have a halacha that we must prepare for Shabbos by washing our hands and feet. We're in water today, Baruch Hashem, everyone has access to a shower. So there are great parallels between the Avodah of the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash and our Avodah on Shabbos Kodesh in our homes, which reminds us that our homes are a Mikdash Me'ah. Our homes are a mini sanctuary, if you will. And just like the Shekhinah resided in the Mishkan / Beis HaMikdash, when we prepare properly, when we are attired properly, when everything is in order for the Avodah, the Shekhinah Be'ezer Hashem dwells in our homes, but always, but specifically on Shabbos. So okay, so we spoke about clothing, candles, bathing. Now we are up to a new section on page 60, and that is called the table, okay? In the Beis HaMikdash, the Lachem Rapanim rested upon a golden shulchan. So we know that we were commanded, Moshe Rabbeinu's commanded, one of the things B'tzal constructed was a shulchan. It was a wooden table. It was overlaid with gold, and there were stacks on top. There were two rows of six stacks each, and the stacks were for the Lachem Hapanim, the show bread, or the bread of faces. And there's machokas, Chazal, was it shaped like a boat, or how was it exactly shaped? Some say like a fast ship, and others say like a square, rectangular bread. It was not the bread like we have in our shape. So they had the lechem upon him, and the Kohanim switched it on Shabbos, and every Shabbos they would eat the bread from the previous week, and it stayed fresh the entire week, which reminds us of who? Sara Imenu, Bracha Mitzui Be'isa. Sara Imenu's tent was also a Mikdash Ma'ah. So on the base of Mikdash, the lechem upon him rested upon a golden shulchan. There was like little tubes between the loaves for air circulation so the bread didn't get moldy. Similarly, we have a Shabbos table. So they had a shulchan, we have a shulchan. They have lachem apanim, we have lachem mishnah. Similarly, we have the Shabbos table. So you see how all aspects of our preparation for Shabbos in terms of bathing was the preparation of the Kohanim, and all the elements that we set up the home and that we have in our home parallel the Beis HaMikdash. And by the way, we're in Sefer Shemos. This week we open up Sefer Shemos, Sefer HaGeula. And how does Sefer HaGeula end? So Sefer Shemos begins with the enslavement and the physical freedom, Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And then we have Matan Torah and Yisrael Mishpatim. But that's still not the end of Sefer HaGeula. How does Shemos, a.k.a. Sefer Gula, and True Matitzava, Kitisha, Vayakal, Pekude, Melachas HaMishkan? So you see that True Gula comes when you build an abode for God and it comes to dwell amongst you. And that's what we're trying to do every Shabbos. Build an abode for God in this finite world, and He will come to dwell in our home. Bo'achem l'shalom. Malachi Asharis. Torah sources describe special specifications for the Shabbos table. Interesting. Torah sources describe special specifications for the Shabbos table. How it should be positioned, where it should be located. This is because he doesn't give sources. So I call and look it up. When there's sources in the footnotes, sometimes they try and look them up for us. But it's interesting. But why do we have to have special specifications for our Shabbos table? Because our Shabbos table resembles the Shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash. And it's interesting to me. I noticed a few years ago, you know from my learning, that I'm very interested in Shorashim and root words in Lashon HaKodesh. Now, I'm not talking about modern day Ivri. I'm talking about Lashon HaKodesh, the language of the Chumash, the language with which the world was created. So shulchan is a contraction of two words, okay? Rashi and words in the Chumash are extremely important. Shulchan is a contraction of two words, shal, chen, shal, chen, chen, chasnan, charm, grace, appeal, beauty. When you set the table properly, when it is a Jewish table, like a table should be, and you're going to see the next paragraph, two sentences, he talks about the universal custom to sing zmiros, when you have the lachem haponim slash lachem mishnah on your table, when you have zmiros, when you have divrei Torah, so Rav Shimshon Pika says it's a special form of avodas Hashem, and then you make your table shal chen. It is one of grace before God. And it's not an accent, it's a contraction of two words, because nothing in the Chumash and nothing in Lashon HaKodesh is talked about rice over our alma is an accident. Shal chen. So what we're trying to attain is a table of grace where it is pleasing, where it is one of charm. It's very hard to translate the word grace. That's why I'm having trouble translating it. Pleasing, charm, appeal, beauty. Vatimtza Aster chen, Beinei Korah Yosef and Esther both had chen. So it's shal chen, and your table's proper. And when we emulate the table, the Shulchan, the Beis HaMikdash, we will find favor before God. We will find grace. Endearing. No. Chen doesn't mean endearing. It means more like charm. Okay, so you know what I'm saying. Shal chen, okay? And what do we do while sitting around the Shabbos table, says of Shimshon Pikas? What should we be talking about? Politics? Elections? The rising cost of eggs? Someone said to me last night, they just read that eggs are $10 a dozen in some places. Thank God I stopped reading the news almost a year ago. It's me. I do what I have to do. And what should we be talking about the Shabbos table? We should be talking about this is a universal Jewish custom to sing zmiros, from the word zemer. These are not just nice songs, says Rav Pinkas. The singing is a special form of avodah Hashem. It too parallels avodah in the Mishkan slash Beis HaMikdash. What was the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash? The singing of the Leviim in the Beis HaMikdash is our avodah, brings down to our day. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash today. There are no Leviim. Leviim, Leshurim, Lezimram. We daven on the Ashalosh Regalim. That the Leviim, Leshurim, Lezimram should be reinstated. Kohanim, Levodah, Sam, Leviim, Leshurim, Lezimram, Sham, Na'alev, Venera, Mishtachava. But since we don't have the Leviim singing, but we do have a Shulchan, and we do have Lachem Apanim, we too can sing like the Leviim. And what is that? It is the special Zmiros that we sing on Shabbos. So I want to quote from the Shabbos Companion by Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky. That's all. Rabbi Abram J. Twersky teaches in this Sefer, one of his 90s farm, the Shabbos Companion, on Zmiros. Okay? Zmiros, Shabbos songs. It is traditional to sing Shabbos songs at the Shabbos meal. He quotes a Hasidic Rabbi Moshe of Kobrin said, "It would be easier for me to believe that the seven seas dried up than to believe there's a Jew who knows how to sing but who does not sing at the Shabbos table." Rabbi Hasidic Master of Moshe of Kobrin said, "It's easier for him to believe that all the seven seas in the world dried up, and he couldn't even fathom or believe that there's a Jew who does not sing at the Shabbos table." In Rabbi Dr. Twersky writes, and in Generation to Generation, which is a different book of his, which I actually haven't I read, I write that the advertising slogan, "Diamonds are forever," is not really accurate, because a diamond is not forever. It may be lost, it may be sold, it may be gifted to somebody else, it may be passed down. It's not always yours forever. It could be chasam taken away from you. It's not yours forever. If you want to give your children a gift that will last forever, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, give them memories. Zechira is one of the most integral components of Am Yisrael. Zacharis asher salach alamayik. Zacharis amashabas lekadsho. Zacharis asher salach alamakech lemirim b'derech b'tzeis chamim mitzrayim. We have so many mitzvahs related to zechira, memory. I forget, Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs writes how many times the root word Zachor is used in the Chumash. It's well over 100. I think it's close to 200 times in the Chumash Chumshei Torah the word Zachor is used, because memory is such a strong part of the experience of being a Jew. If you want to give your children a gift that will last forever, don't give them diamonds. Give them memories, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky's. Memory are indeed forever. And what's more, they don't spoil, go stale, or go out of style. Some of my most cherished memories, he writes, are of Shabbos Zmiros. As a child, I had a fairly pleasant voice. My brothers were much older than me. They were away yeshiva. So my father always had me sing the Zmiros. I enjoyed singing them, but even more than that, I enjoyed seeing how much my father enjoyed my singing. We regularly had guests, he continues, Rabbi Dr. Twersky, at our Shabbos table, Archim. Many of them were traveling rabbis, so they sang nigunim, which were new to me, and I built up a repertoire of nigunim decades later. At the Shabbos table, Zmiros carry me back to my childhood. and I relive these wonderful moments. This is an additional meaning of Zachar as Yom HaShavas Akacha, which we're coming up to in Parshas Yisrael, Perek Chaf of Shemos Pasuches. Remember the Shabbos day to keep it holy. I can remember a Shabbos of 70 years ago. Says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, some children today spend hours watching television. So it must have been the days before tablets and handheld devices. Will they be able to enjoy the memories of these TV shows 70 years later? What about 7 days later? Rhetorical. My mother's father, the Rebbe of Baba, the Kedushas Tzion, was a musician par excellence. My mother was present when he composed Nigunim, and I learned them from her. There's probably a genetic factor in the transmission of music, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky. My brother, Rav Michal Twersky of Milwaukee, and I have composed some pieces that have become popular. Music has always occupied a paramount position in Judaism. Music has always occupied a paramount position in Judaism. I will tell you that when my husband and I, we did a scholar in residence in Los Angeles. I don't remember which year it was, because before COVID, we went like four fall, early winter in a row. So one of the last years before COVID, when we were out west, we were in Los Angeles, in the Pico neighborhood, and there is a Museum of Tolerance there, the Simon Wiesenthal Museum of Tolerance. It's like a Holocaust museum. There's a recreation of the place where Anne Frank was hidden, in the annex. We heard a former white supremacist speak. He now speaks about his experiences and how there should be tolerance and acceptance. I mean, he would be the guy who would, kill you if you saw him on the street. It was me and my husband and three Hasidish ladies. That was quite a jarring and interesting experience. Anyway, they also had a Holocaust survivor speak. An elderly woman, a Holocaust survivor, and one of the stories she told, I don't remember actually anything else that she told, but this really stuck in my head. One of the things she told is that when they arrived, they got off the train, and when they arrived in the barracks that first night, it was a group of young women. They may have been from Hungary, and they arrived in the barracks that night, and they had no idea. They just found themselves in hell, and the girls were crying, and nobody understood, and I can't describe it, obviously, because we've never been in such a Gehenna, Baruch Hashem. They were truly in hell. Nobody could fall asleep on the slats. They were smashed together in their beds, wood, no blankets, uniform, prisoner uniforms. And one of the older girls started to sing a Yiddish song. I forget which song she said they sang. One of the older girls, slash young woman, started to sing a song. It was Yiddish. And she said something about Mama loves you. I don't remember the song. And then but this is a true story and I'm not making up. Why would I do that? That would be silly. Everyone in the barrack, all the girls got quiet. Everyone calmed down, and then everyone went to sleep. And this is what the survivor told. It's really the only thing I remember from her testimony. And it's so powerful. Music has tremendous power to speak to the soul and to speak to the mind and to move us to a different time. Metaphysically, we move to a different time. So obviously, it was the most reassuring thing she could have done for those Rachmana Litzlan oppressed Yidden who found themselves in the pit of hell. She's saying she took them back to their home. She took them back to a different time. Rabbi Dr. Twersky says, because of Zmiros, I can remember, quote, Shabbosos of 70 years ago. Music has always occupied a paramount position in Judaism. Oh, you want to hear what he compares Shabbos Zmiros to, Rabbi Dr. Twersky? No joke, literally, the Levites' music in the temple is legendary. In his essay here on Shabbos Zmiros, he compares it to the singing of the Levium. The singing, the music of the Levium in the temple is legendary. It has been said that whereas speech is an expression of the mind, music is an expression of the heart. And I'm going to add to that, it's not only an expression of the heart, it's also an expression of the soul. Even when you think about how we usher in Shabbos at the Shabbos table, first we sing Shalom Aleichem and Eish Hashem. We don't recite it, we sing it. There is festive music, there is meditative music. Several of the Hasidic rabbis composed beautiful music. He tells a story. In the court of the Tzaddik of Sanz, there was a chassid, Abish Meir, who composed Nigunim. One Friday, Abish Meir heard some melodies emanating from a tavern, and he was attracted to listening to them. He was particularly taken by one melody, which kept reverberating in his mind. Friday night, Abish Meir served as the chazan, and when he thought of a nigun for the chadodi, this melody came to mind, and he sang the chadodi to this tune that he had heard in the tavern. It later occurred to him that he sang the chadodi with a melody he learned from drunkards, and perhaps he had profaned the verses. After services, he did not go over to the tzaddik of Sanz for his usual good Shabbos greeting, for fear of being reprimanded. At home, Abish Meir found himself in a quandary. He had never missed a Friday night tish by the Rebbe, but if he showed himself at the tish, he was sure to be reprimanded. He decided he would wait until everyone else was at the tish, then he would enter stealthily, so the tzaddik would not notice him. So he did that. But as soon as he entered, the tzaddik of Sanz called out to him, Abishmer, Abishmer, come here. Expecting a severe chastisement, Abishmer apprehensively approached the tzaddik. Why did you come so late? Said the tzaddik of Sanz. We have been waiting for you to sing with Zmiros. Sing Koma Kadesh with the nigun you sang for the Chadodi. As Abishmer sang, the Rebbe was ecstatic. When he finished, the Rebbe said, the most beautiful music in the world was that of the Leviim and the Beis HaMikdash. What happened to all that beautiful music when the Jews went into exile, Galus? Why the Leviim's music went into exile also? Abishmeir, that nigun was one of the Leviim's melodies. It was once ours, and you have restored it to us. That's the story that Rabbi Dr. Tversky tells about the tune of Kol Mekadesh. And when his chassid came, he said, sing Kol Mekadesh with the nigun used for the Chadodi. I don't know if anybody sings Kol Mekadesh at your table. It's an extremely, extremely beautiful nigun. My men sing it at the table. It's very, very moving and very, very powerful. So one word on Kol Mekadesh, which Rabbi Dr. Tversky tells over. So in the Kol Mekadesh, we say in the first stanza, look on your bench on Friday night, you'll see it. Kol Mekadesh shvi karu ilo, kol shomer Shabbos kadas mechalalo, whoever sanctifies Shabbos as befits it, whoever safeguards the Shabbos properly from desecration, secharo harbe me'od, his reward is very great, al pi pa'alo, according to his work, according to his effort, his deed, ish al machanehu, each man according to his camp, v'ish al diglo, and each man according to his flag. So it's really beautiful. If you're not familiar with it, look it up in the Birkon, in the Bencher. I'm not going to sing it, but it's moving. So regarding this first stanza, Rabbi Dr. Tversky writes, Charo harbe me'od al pi pa'alo. The reward is very great according to his effort. Ish al machanehu v'ish al diglo. Each man according to his camp and each man according to his flag. We know that the Yidden and the Dazer camped according to different flags. Each shevet had a degel. It was actually in last week's Sedra by Yechi, because Yaakov Avinu, Rashi says, the way he told them to carry up his bier, his mita, up to Canaan for burial, that was how they camped around the Mishkan in the desert, and each one had a flag. So Rabbi Dr. Tversky says, if a person is rewarded in accordance with his deed, we say in the Zemr, Scharo harbe me'od, his reward is very much, al pi pa'alo, according to his effort, according to his work or his deed. If a person is rewarded in accordance with his deed, i.e. if the reward is proportional to what he did, how could you say, Scharo harbe me'od, his reward is exceedingly great? Maybe it's not exceedingly great. Maybe it's only in accordance with the deed. Maybe the deed is small. How could you say it's exceedingly great if it's only according to his deeds? His deeds determine the schar. So how could you say scharo harbe me'od? Furthermore, how do the phrases each man at his own camp, ish amachane, this is the Friday night zemer, that's what we're expanding upon, ish amachane who? Every man in his own camp, ish al diglo, every man and his own banner, how do they fit into this context? So Rabbi Dr. Tversky tells the following story. A chassid came to the tzaddik, Rav Meir of Premishtam, bitterly complaining that the pirates, the feudal baron, had rescinded his lease on his inn, and he was evicting him. There are stories of the, especially in the Middle Ages, the wealthy non-Jewish pirates who made the Jew suffer terribly. The Jew had one cow, a little tavern, the taxes were exorbitant, life was so difficult. A chassid came to the tzaddik of Meir of Premishtam, bitterly complaining that the pirates had rescinded his lease on his inn, and he was evicting him. How will I support my wife? How will I support my children? He cried. The Rebbe said, stay here with me for Shabbos. Friday night, the Rebbe sang Kol Mekadesh, and when he came to the verse, each man at his own camp, ish al machanehu, v'ish al diglo, and each man according to his own banner, he repeated it many times with great kavana. Then he asked, the Rebbe asked, if a person is rewarded only in accordance with his deed, in what way is it exceedingly great? It's according to your deed, so how can you say it's exceedingly great? It's not objective. However, said the Rebbe, I translate the verse as follows. Al pi pa'alo means according to his word shall the deed be done. According to his word shall the deed be done. If a person observes Shabbos as befitting, then God gives him an exceedingly great reward. Namely, whatever he says will be fulfilled. Scharo harbe me'od, his reward will be very great if he observes Shabbos properly. Because what's the first stanza? Kol mekadesh shvi karui lo. Whoever sanctifies the Sabbath as is appropriate to it. Therefore, shchara harbe meod. If you sanctify the Shabbos appropriately, as we are meant to sanctify it, and guard it from being mechalalo. What's the next words? Kol shomer Shabbos kadas mechalalo. Everyone who guards the Sabbath appropriately so that it should not be profaned. Then, shchara harbe meod, his reward will be very great. Al pipolo, according to his word. If a person observes Shabbos as befitting, says the Tzaddik, the Rav Meir Premishlam, then God gives him an exceedingly great reward. Namely, whatever he says will be fulfilled. Therefore, I, the Tzaddik of Premishlam, a person has another work, say, Isha machanehu, the Isha deglo. I hereby declare on this Shabbos, every man will stay in his own camp, every man will stay at his own banner. Every person will remain. And he turned to the Chassid and he said, do not worry. The poets will not evict you. When the Chassid returned home, he found that the poets had indeed extended his lease. So the first stanza we say, Kol mekadesh shvi karei, whoever sanctifies the Shabbos as it is appropriate to it. Kol shomer Shabbos kadosh mechalalo, whoever guards the Sabbath according to the law, to prevent it from being profaned. When you guard the Sabbath in that way, shcharo harbe meod, your reward will be very great. Al pi polo, you can ask for whatever you want at that time. According to your word, will the reward be so great? Yishal machaneh, there will be security for your home. The Yishal diglal, there will be security for your encampment, your banner, and your family. Be'ezar Hashem. Going back to, so that's all from Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky. Going back to Rav Shimshon Pinkas. What do we do while sitting around the Shabbos table? It is a universal custom to sing Zmiros. These are not just nice songs. The singing is a special form of Avodas Hashem. It is like the singing of the Levim in the Beis HaMikdash, which we saw also from Rabbi Dr. Twersky. Furthermore, what else do we have at the Shabbos table? So first he spoke about the Lacham HaPanim. We have the Lacham Mishnah. The Shulchan. Singing of the Levim. Singing around our Shabbos table. What else? It is customary to place roses, Shoshanim, on the Shabbos table. Perhaps for their pleasant fragrance, or maybe to beautify the home. And now he quotes the Medrash, Shir HaShirim Rabbah. Just as the rose is prepared for Shabbos and Yom Tov, so is Israel. So if you look at the footnote, he is quoting Medrash Shir HaShirim Rabbah, Parsha Beis Siman Vav. Okay, so here is my Medrash Shir HaShirim Rabbah. So I'll tell you, I went to Parsha Beis Siman Vav and Medrash Shir HaShirim Rabbah, and I could not find this exact Medrash. I could not find those exact words that just as the rose is prepared for Shabbos and Yom Tov, so is Yisrael. So it's possible, it could be, that it's a typo. I was just learning from a sefer the other week, and I quoted a pasuk from Chumash, which was a clear typo. Oh, it said, I know what it was. It's talking about Esau's hatred for Yaakov. It said it's from 27:31. I know that's not correct. It's in Bereishis 27:41. So it's possible it's a typo. Or maybe there's a different text in the Medrash that I don't have. I don't know. I looked at my Medrash Shir HaShirim Rabbah, but it does talk about Klai Yisrael being compared to a rose, which is what Rav Shimshon Pinkas is speaking about. So I'm going to share with you a beautiful Medrash that Medrash Shir HaShirim Rabbah brings down here in Parsha Beis, Siman Vav. So the last thing we read is that we have a custom to put roses on the Shabbos table, which are Shoshanim, perhaps with a pleasant fragrance, but Klal Yisrael is compared to a rose. Okay, we prepare for Shabbos and Yom Tov. Yisrael is prepared. We put roses, flowers on the table. Okay, so I am going to share with you. The Medrash is expanding upon the verse from Shir HaShirim, Parak Beis, Pasuk Beis. The Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Keshoshana bein hachochim, kein ra'ayasi bein habanos. The Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, which I'm accustomed to recite, by the way, Erev Shabbos, as a rose among thorns, so is my beloved among the daughters. It's an expression of Hashem's love for Klal Yisrael. Kashoshana bein hachochim, just like a rose among the thorns, kein ra'ayasi, so is my beloved, says Hashem, bein habanos, amongst the daughters. So this is the Pasuk that the Medrash is expanding upon. So the Medrash says as follows, referring to Klal Yisrael, that this verse, a rose, refers to Klal Yisrael, which is exactly what Shimshon Pinkas says. Okay? Rabbi Azariah b'shem Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Simon. Rabbi Azariah, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, citing Rabbi Simon, says as follows, Mashal. The Medrash tells over a Mashal. This is the Medrash of Pinkas is quoting, Shir HaShirim Rabbah 2:6. Mashal l'malach shahayalo pardis. It is a parable to a king who had an orchard. V'yardu, v'natu, shura shel te'enim. The workers went into the orchard and they planted a row of fig trees, v'shua shel gefanim, and a row of vineyards, v'shua shel vines, not vineyards, a vineyard is a place where the vines grow, grapevines, gefanim, gefen, v'shua shel rimonim, and they planted a row of pomegranates, v'shua shel tapuchim. They planted a row of apples. So a king has a pardes, an orchard, and his workers go down and they plant one row of te'anim, figs, one row of gefanim, grapevines, one row of rimonim, pomegranates, and one row of tapuchim, apples. Umasro la'aris v'halachlo. The king entrusted it to a sharecropper and he went away. La'achar yamim, after some time passed, Bahamelach, the king came, the heitzitz bepardes, and he gazed at the orchard, leida ma'asa, he wanted to know what it produced. So what came out of the gefen and the te'ena and the rimon and the tapuchim? I found that it to be an interesting list that the Medrash chooses, because the first year from the Shivat Aminim, yeah, you thought of that also? Yeah, Sigali, you thought of the same thing. So I think it's interesting that the Medrash chooses te'ena, gefen, rimon, and then tapuchim. Okay? But we know that tapuchim, apple orchard, has a great power also in historically and in Tanakh, because the pasuk says, we say it in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, tachas ha-tapuach orotiha. Under, I think it's from Michaska, under the apple tree, I think. Under the apple tree, I aroused you. I'm pretty sure. So Michaska, under the apple tree, I aroused you, which is an allusion to, it's brought down by Rashi to Shemos 38:8. By the mirrors of the Kiyor, which we spoke about last time. It's an allusion to the Benos Yisrael who kept Klal Yisrael going. It's an allusion to the Benos Yisrael who seduced their husbands under the apple trees in Egypt, and then they conceived and they gave birth and they kept Klal Yisrael going. So it is not one of the Shiva Saminim, but the Tapuach, Tachas HaTapuach Aratiha, does have special significance in the history of Klal Yisrael. So perhaps that is... one answer to why the man just chooses a tapuach, because it really seems, you know, which of these things does not belong, which Sigali thought of as well. Okay, la'achar yamin bahamelech v'heitzitz b'pardes le'damasha. So the king comes and he wants to see, okay, I left it in hands of the sharecropper, the workers are planting, so I want to see all my bounty. Let's pick the pomegranates and the apples. U'matza malei chochin v'dardarim. He found it full of thorns and thistles. Remember that we're expanding upon the Medrash, Kishoshana Ben HaChochim, Kain Rayasi Ben HaBano, Shir Shirim 2-2. Just like a rose among thorns, so too is my beloved amongst the daughters. So Matzamalei Chochin, he finds it full of thorns, Vidar Darim, thistles, which is that Hashem tells Adam the earth will sprout as part of the first curse. Hevi Katzatzim, the Katzatzo. So of course he's not happy, so what does he do? Didn't produce anything. He brings people to chop it down. He needs to chop down the whole orchard. It's a big mess. However, he saw a single rose, which is interesting because Shoshana Vered, they say, is the same name. Here it is in the Medrash. He saw one single rose. Unatla, he took it, he plucked it. He smelled the rose. Vishavas nafsho alav. He had Yishuv Hadas. He had Menuchas HaNefesh. Shavas, the word is Shavat. It's interesting. The word is actually Shavat, like Shabbos. Unatha, he picks this rose. Vehei Reichba, he smells it. Vishavat, Shin Ve'iztav, Shabbos. Vishavat Nafsho Olav. Isn't that interesting? Shabbos brings restoration to the soul. Can't be an accident. Torah Shabbat Peh is not an accident, just like Torah Shabbat Tav is not an accident. So when the king finds this single rose, which is compared to Klal Yisrael, where a rose among the thorns, the thorns being the umbas all on the world around us. There's this one beautiful rose. And Bishvil Shosh, and then he smells it, Vishavat Nafsho, Vishabas Nafsho. So just like on Shabbos, we have a restoration of the soul. The king has a restoration of the soul as well, from the beauty of Klal Yisrael amongst the roses. Amar Hamelach. The king says, Bishvil Shoshana Zo, Yinatza HaPardes. I found one rose. Because of this rose, the entire orchard will be safe. I'm not going to condemn it. I'm not going to put police line, don't cross. I'm not going to close it down. Because of this one rose, the entire Pardes will be saved. And now, that's the parable. And now the Chazal go and they explain the parable. The parable is explained. Continues the Medrash. Kacha Olam Lo Nivra Ela Bishvil Yisrael. The whole world was created only for Knesset Yisrael. La'achar eshrim v'shisha doros, after 26 generations, heiti tzokolosh baruch hu b'olamo liro, mashasha. After 26 generations, there's 10 generations from Adam to Noach. There's 10 generations from Noach to Avram. That's 20 generations. Then we have Yitzchak, Yaakov, Levi, Gershon Kahas Merari, Amram Yitzchak Chavon and Uziel, Moshe Rabbeinu. That's six. I just counted six more. So Moshe Rabbeinu is 26 generations, and he's a generation of Matan Torah. La'achar Esrim V'shisha Doros, Heiti Tzokolosh Baruch Hu B'olamo Liro, Mashasa. So after 26 generations, Hashem says, let me take a look, like the king who comes back, and let me see what did my orchard produce. He looks around and he wants to see what did the world produce. Art School Medrash Rabbah footnote. God created a perfect and orderly world, corresponding to the orderly rows of fruit planted by the king in his orchard. But since the purpose of creation was for the sake of Israel and Torah, the Torah that would be observed, the continued existence of the world, even prior to the giving of the Torah, depended on observance of the commandments to which those generations were obligated. So he comes to see those specific generations, where the Umas Olam keeping the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach, where the B'nai Yisrael keeping the Mitzvot that they had a certain number of commandments that they had to keep before. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes around, he wants to see, is there order to my world? Umatzo Mayim B'mayim. All he found is that the world has been inundated with waters upon waters. Art School footnote. The world had been devastated by water multiple times. The world had been devastated by water multiple times upon the account of the sins of its inhabitants. This corresponds to the thorns and thistles in the parable, which are harmful to the orchard. So the orderly world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created corresponds to the rose that the king planted. The thorns and thistles in the parable correspond to water, which multiple times inundated the world / different sections of the world, which were causing destruction. And now the Medrash gives examples. Dor Enosh Nimcha Min HaMayim, the generation of Enosh was blotted out through water. And that generation, the people began to worship idols. God caused the oceans to overflow, and the boundaries of the oceans washed over a large portion of dry land. That's quoting Medrash Bereishis Rabbah. So Dor Enosh was destroyed through water. Dor HaMabel Nimcha Min HaMayim. Dor Mabel was destroyed entirely through water. Dor HaFlaga B'mayim. Furthermore, the generation of the dispersion, they appear in Perikir Aleph of Bereishis. They're after the Dor HaMabel. The Dor HaFlaga was also washed away with water. An Art School footnote. And that generation too, the ocean overflowed and destroyed many families. So Hevi Katzatzim the Katzatzo. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought choppers to chop it down. Shenemar, and now the Medrash quotes a pasuk that we say on Shabbos. Hashem l'mabul yasha v'yishev Hashem melech l'olam. It's Tehillim Chav Tes. Havu l'Hashem b'nei ilim. This is one of the kapitach that we recite on Shabbos a number of different times. So the Medrash says, so what did Hashem do? He said, I'm going to cut down the earth. Hey, v'katzatzim l'katzo. There's no order. Just like the king brought choppers to chop down the orchard. So Hashem l'mabul yasha. Hashem dwells on the flood. There's going to be a deluge, and it'll all be destroyed. However, let me see if I want to tell you footnotes. Yeah, the footnote says, at the time of the giving of the Torah, which, remember, we're in 26 generations, the divine presence descended onto the earth below. God scrutinized the world stringently. He was prepared to destroy it based on the previous record of its inhabitants. He was ready to sit in judgment, Hashem l'mabul yashav, and destroy the world as he had done at the time of the flood. However, v'ra'a shoshana shel vered, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw one single rose. Who is that single rose, says the Medrash? Elu l'Yisrael, which is exactly what Rav Pinchas is talking about. He compares the rose of Shabbos and Yom Tov to Yisrael. He refers us to this Medrash. So in the chaos of the world, as it was for the first 26 generations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I'm going to destroy it. It just didn't work. Maybe I'll have to start again with a new world. V'ra'a shoshana shel vered. However, he saw one beautiful rose. Elu Yisrael. Says the Medrash, this is a reference to Kal Yisrael. U'natza v'heiriach ba. He took the rose and he smelled it. Kaviyachal. We assign anthropomorphic. No, we do Chazal. The Mefarshim. Assign anthropomorphic qualities to Ribono Shel. Because like Rashi says, you have to speak to the ear the way it can hear. We have no other way to relate to the infinite, omnipotent, Ein Sof Ribono Hashem. So we assign anthropomorphic qualities to help us understand a little, not even, the workings of the Ribono Hashem. So what did the Ribono Hashem do, says the Medrash? He took the rose and he smelled it. B'shas Sesidru Yisrael Aseres HaDibros. When did he have such favor for Klal Yisrael? At the time that Klal Yisrael arranged the Aseres HaDibros. They brought themselves to Har Sinai. They readied themselves to receive the Torah. So I just thought of something. Maybe based on this Medrash, you could say that's one of the meanings behind Har Sinai was, you know, full of flowers and greenery. Maybe that represents the greenery of Klal Yisrael, the freshness, the vigor, the growth of Klal Yisrael, that were able to grow and smell beautiful and be that Shoshana Bein HaChochim despite the chaos of the world. So the Medrash says he took the flower, he smelled it. When did he smell it? At the time that Israel arranged B'shash Sidru Yisrael Aseres HaDibros. At the time that Israel arranged Aseres HaDibros, meaning we came to Matan Torah and we prepared for the Torah. V'shavas Nafsho Alav. Here's what Shavat, Shavash. V'shabas Nafsho Alav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's soul was calmed. He had a Shavat Nafsho, a Shabbos Nafsho. That's what we have on Shabbos. We have to recognize that we are like the rose amongst the thorns. And we bring kaviyachol, restoration to the soul of God, and achamma to the soul of God, when he sees the chaos in the world, and he sees the beauty of Kaisha. And we have to allow Shabbos to give us that Shabbos Nafsho, to give us that restoration of soul. The Shabbos Nafsho Alav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's soul was restored and calmed, so to speak. B'shash Amri Yisrael Nasa B'nishma. When Klal Yisrael said Nasa V'nishma, everything Hashem says we will do and we will listen, which includes, of course, Zachar Yom HaShabbos Kacho and Shamar Yom HaShabbos Kacho. Kosh Baruch Hu's soul was restored. Shavat Nafsho, Shabbos Nafsho. He gave Shabbos a Nefesh, and that Nefesh is given to us on Shabbos. Amar Kosh Baruch Hu, Kosh Baruch Hu said, Bishvil Shoshana Zo Yinatzel HaPardis. For the sake of this single rose, the entire orchard will be saved. Bizchus haTorah, listen to the end of the Medrash. Bizchus haTorah vilom deha yinatzel ha'olam. At the time of the giving of the Torah, Klal Yisrael said kol shor dibrei Hashem nasa v'nishma. It's Shavuos 24/7. It's a mishpatim, actually. Not in Yisrael. In Yisrael they say nasa, kol shor dibrei Hashem nasa, and then kol shor dibrei Hashem nasa v'nishma, which includes, of course, the halachos and the mitzvah of Shabbos Kodesh, which is the fourth of the Aseres HaDibros, and Shavat Nafsho, because Baruch Hu had a restoration of the soul. He gives Shabbos a Nefesh. That Nefesh is given to us on Shabbos. And we are the Vered. We are the rose. So think about this if you have flowers in your home for Shabbos. Think about this Medrash. And if you have flowers, you don't. Maybe you have them once a month. Shabbos Barachim, every week. Shabbos Zachar. Think about this Medrash when you look at those flowers that are for Shabbos at your table. Amar Kosh Baruch Hu Bishvil Shoshana Zo Yinatzel Pardes. Because of this one Shoshana, this one beautiful Klal Yisrael, this one beautiful acceptance of the Torah, I will save the entire world. When Chazal say in Pirkei Avos, Al Shoshal Dvarim Olam HaMeid, Al Torah, Al Avod V'Gluvas Chosad, without Torah, the world would cease to exist. That's what the Medrash is clearly saying. After 26 generations, Hashem is going to just say, I'm finished with them. I'm cutting down the whole thing. Hevi Kot Satsim L'Katzatzo. We're going to cut it down. There's one Vered who said Nasa V'nishma Shavas Nafsho. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how does this siman finish in the Medrash? Bizchus HaTorah V'lomdeha Yinatza Ha'olam. Isn't that a tremendous statement, a beautiful chizek? Bizchus HaTorah and the merit of the Torah, V'lomdeha. You must buy roses for Shabbos. I know, it makes me feel like wanting to go out and buy them. Bizchus HaTorah and the merit of the Torah, V'lomdeha, and those who learn it, Yinatza Ha'olam, the whole world will be saved. And the Medrash and the article footnote points out that the Pasuk says Hashem l'mabul yashav, the Pasuk that the Medrash quotes, Hashem is enthroned, Hashem sits in a flood, v'yeshiv Hashem melech ha'olam, and Hashem sits as the king forever. So the Medrash says, the very next verse in Tehillim 29:11, that Pasuk is 29:10, Chav Tasyad, Hashem will give might to his nation, Hashem owes the amo yitain. This refers to Torah. This is a capital till we say it tonight, we say it in the morning, we say it by putting the Torah away. Hashem will give might to his nation. Hashem owes the Amo Yitain, referring to the Torah. I.e., God would have indeed destroyed the world. However, he did not do so because his nation accepted the Torah. Here, too, we see that the world was spared in the merit of the people of Israel and the hope that others would produce good offspring that will join the Jewish people. So in the Zchus of Torah, the whole world was saved. In the Zchus of the Shoshana Achas Shel Vered, which is Klal Yisrael, is living by Torah, Bizchus HaTorah V'lomdeha Yinatzal HaOlam. And clearly, the connection to Shabbos is very strong. Shavas Nafsho, he had a restoration of the soul. He imbued Shabbos with a nefesh. When you put your flowers on the Shabbos table, think about this. Going back to Rav Shimshon Pinkas, so he's speaking about the table. We have a shulchan, the Mishkan had a shulchan. They had lacham apanim, we have lacham mishnah. They had the singing of Zmiros by the Levium. Well, I shouldn't have said Zmiros. They had the singing of the Levium on the steps of the Beis HaMikdash. We have the, that's what we say every day is the Shir Shalyam. Hashir Shahalavim Hayu Omrim. When you sing the Shir Shal, say the Shir Shalyam before Aleinu, or depending on your nusach, you may say it after Aleinu. Shir, it's the song of the day, Shahalavim Hayu Omrim, Beis HaMikdash. Think of what we're saying. When it comes to Shabbos, we actually have time. We sit down at the table and we sing these songs, and it's an integral part of our avodah. Furthermore, it is customary to place roses on the Shabbos table, Shoshanim, like the Medrash teaches, says Rav Pinkas, just as the rose is prepared for Shabbos and Yom Tov, so is Yisrael. Oh, I wanted to quote one more thing about selling flowers, about flowers in honor of a Shabbos or Yom Tov. Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav, tells over the following story, right? About his grandfather, his great-grandfather, the Beis HaLevi, Rav Yashar Ber HaLevi Salvechik of Brisk, the father of Chaim Brisker. Let me share a more recent example, says the Rav. A story used to, oh, by the way, it's a beautiful story, and it's a perfect way to start to conclude Shir, because this story ties in flowers for Shavuos. That Medrash just taught us that Hashem finds the flower of Yisrael at the time of the giving of the Torah. So this is a story about flowers for Shavuos. The flower of Shavuos, of Na'asa v'Nishma, is what keeps the world in existence. Says the Rav. A story is told about Rav Yashar Ber of Brisk, that one Erev Shavuos, late in the afternoon on his way to Shul, he noticed a flower stand that was still open. He went over to the woman and he said, "My dear, it is late. Soon we will usher in Yom Tov. Why don't you go home to your family?" "Yes, Rabbi," said the woman in Brisk, "but I haven't sold any flowers. The Count sent in a wagon loaded with flowers, and everybody bought the greenery from the Count. In fact, his branches and flowers were much better than mine. What shall I do, Rabbi? There's nothing in the house, no food, no wine, no candles for the holiday. I have nothing to look forward to." Rav Yashar Ber, the Beis HaLevi, told the woman to step aside, Erev Shavuos. He took her place. He began to announce aloud on the streets of Brisk, the Beis HaLevi standing there saying, "Look how beautiful the flowers are." This is from the Sefer Abraham's Journey, if you don't know where I'm quoting from. "Look how tender and green are the twigs and the leaves." People suddenly encountered a very strange scene. The world-renowned rabbi in his festive garments is zealously selling flowers and charging exorbitant prices. Of course, all the flowers were sold, despite the prohibitive prices. Says Rav Salvechik, the great-grandson of the Beis HaLevi, and it was his namesake, whether the story is true or not, the fact that such a folk story is told is indicative of the demands the Jew makes upon his own conscience in regard to Kedusha. So, in honor of the flower of Yisrael and the flower of Torah, Hashem saved the entire world. Says Rav Pinkas, sometimes I buy a few roses for Shabbos. Once I went to a store, I saw some beautiful roses, says Rav Pinkas. I asked the storekeeper to wrap some up for me. He asked me a very difficult kasha. He asked me, "How many flowers do you want?" I was stumped, says Rav Pinkas. I know a bridegroom buys 12 roses for the bride, but how many roses does one buy in honor of Shabbos? How many roses does one buy to honor the day of Hashem? Should I buy one? Should I buy 24? Should I perhaps buy the entire store? In the end, I took 3 roses, because it's impossible to buy enough. We know the famous story in the Gemara, Masech HaShabbos, Lamed Aleph Aleph, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai comes out of the cave. So he sees Ahu Saba, he sees an old man, and he's running with 2 twigs. Remember? Shabbos, Lamed Aleph Aleph, after they come out of the final year of the cave, after 13 years. The first time they came out, they're burning everybody out. They go back in, another 12 months, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's son is burning everybody out. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai sees this old man running with 2 twigs. He says, "Why are you running with 2 twigs?" It was towards twilight. It was Erev Shabbos, towards twilight. So the man says, "One is for Zachar, one is for Shamar." So you see that the connection between Shabbos and flowers is not so simple. The Medrash illustrates how powerful is the connection between flowers and Shabbos, and roses specifically, and Klai Yisrael based on the pasuk from Shir HaShirim, Kishor Shana Bein HaChochim, Kein Ra'ayasi Bein HaBnos. One more sentence. No matter how many you will buy, it will never fully honor Hashem or Shechina. You'll need some kind of practical framework within to work, since you can't buy the entire store, which would still not be sufficient. Therefore, you have to have a practical framework, whether you buy two Zachar V'Shamar, or three, or 24. The Beis HaLevi stood at the street corner and he said, buy all the roses because Shabbos is coming. B'Shavat Nafsho. When Hashem saw the verit of Klai Yisrael, he had a restoration of the stall, which is exactly what Shabbos brings to all of us. I'm just looking at the comments, which I didn't have time for. Oh, beautiful. There are stories. This is from earlier in Shir. I didn't see the comments earlier. There are stories that many people that stayed on the derech coming out of the Holocaust remained frum because they held on to the warm memories of Shabbos, which is exactly what Rabbi Dr. Twersky said. Diamonds are not forever, but the memories especially ties into. He says, I can remember Shabbos was from 70 years ago. And it's warm memories of Shabbos that often. And that relates to, actually, that comment relates to, there's a saying, it's not that the Jews keep Shabbos, it's that Shabbos keeps the Jews. Okay, the flowers tie into the Ketores. I don't think it was spices. I don't know if it was flowers per se. Okay, thank you so much, everybody. I wish everybody a wonderful, true Shabbat Shalom, an amazing Shabbos. Thank you so much. Thank you, of course, to our sponsor, Tzvi Mitzvos Ulamaisim Tovim. Good Shabbos. Thank you so much. Kol Tov.